Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Pastor Brian. For those of you who don't know me, and it's my great privilege to share the word with you today. So if you brought a Bible or you got one of those note sheets on your way in, you can pull that out. And we're gonna dive into our teaching time today. And I love that story. And this last month, actually, I was looking at the story of that song, Joy to the World. Do you guys like that song? I love the song, Joy to the World, but our series is named after Joy to the World, by the way. And I looked up the beginning of that song. It was written by a guy named Isaac Watts. And believe it or not, it actually wasn't even written as a song, and it wasn't written even as a Christmas song. It was written as a poem on Psalm chapter 98. But I found it fascinating because this is the story that captivates our souls every year as we come to the Christmas season, isn't it? The story of how God came to be with us. And this is the story that I want to talk about today, the moment when the Savior of the world came to be with us. He came to be God with us. And so if you have your Bibles today, I'm going to have you turn to Luke chapter 2. You can also turn in the YouVersion Bible app. I think all of our notes are actually in YouVersion Bible app. If you look on that, you can find our notes there. But Luke chapter 2, and I want us to read the Christmas story. And the title of my message today is The Joy of God. Why don't you say those words with me? The Joy of God. And today, my prayer for you is that you would experience the joy of God. That you would experience what is, in essence, the Christmas message, this idea of God's joy come to earth. So if you have a Bible, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we're going to read the Christmas story, and then we're going to dive in and talk about what God wants to say to us today from his word. So if you have a Bible, Luke 2, chapter 1, and it starts like this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them at the inn. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Imagine camping out in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden a bright light shines, and angels are in front of you. They were scared. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, even more angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Then the angels went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds looked at each other like, "What just happened? We should post that on Facebook." But that's not what they said. They looked at one another. They said, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. Say haste. Haste. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And today, this morning, as we look at the story of the birth of the Savior of the world, I just want to say this big idea today is this, that Jesus brings good news and great joy in every place where he's invited in. That Jesus Christ brings good news and great joy in every home, in every relationship, in every situation where he's invited in. And today, that is my prayer for you, that you would invite in Jesus, that you would invite him into your festivities this season, that you'd invite him into your life this season. See, Jesus came, as the angel said in verse 10, he said, "I bring you good news." Say good news. Good news. With great joy. Say great joy. Great joy. See, sometimes when we think about the Christmas story, we forget that it's good news. And sometimes even when we remember that it's good news, we're afraid to share it. You ever have good news and you don't want to share it? Because you don't want to make everyone else like upset. You know, maybe you just got a promotion at work and you know your coworker didn't get a promotion. And so you're like, I got a big raise, but you don't want to say that. You say, I'm just excited. God's good, right? And so you try and play it cool because it's not good news for them. It's just good news for me, right? Sometimes we feel that way. We walk on eggshells about good news because we're afraid that someone else doesn't have good news like we have. So we don't want to share it. But this is not good news just for me. This isn't good news just for you. This is good news for everyone, everywhere. Amen? This is why we celebrate it. That's why we share the good news. Guys, can you guess what happened? God came. This good news of great joy for everyone, everywhere. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. This is good news for everyone. So we share this good news because Jesus brings good news and great joy wherever he's invited. See, here's the thing about God. God will not barge into your life. He won't force his way into your situation. And what I love about the story of the first Christmas is that we see that there wasn't room for the Savior of the world in the place where he was born. And I'll just say this, God won't barge into your life either. You've got to invite him in. He always awaits an invitation. Sometimes we wonder why we don't experience the joy of God. Sometimes we hear a story about joy to the world and we're like, psh, that ain't my story. Right? I don't feel joy right now. I don't feel, everything's not hunky-dory in my life. I've got problems. I've got things that I have to deal with. I've got stuff that's going on. But God will not barge into our lives. He won't barge into our story. He stands, as the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. But we've got to open the door and invite him in to be with us. And that's true in every area of our lives. Sometimes we wonder, God, why are my relationships not filled with joy? Invite Jesus in. We say, God, why is my finances filled with such turmoil and pain? I'd say, invite Jesus into your finances. Invite Jesus into your relationships. Invite Jesus in to your Christmas celebration with your family members. Wow. Let there be joy in those seasons as well. See, God wants us to invite him in because when we invite God in, he changes things. I don't know if I have to tell you this, but life gets messy, doesn't it? See, life doesn't always go the way we expect, and things happen that's not our plan A. Sometimes it's our plan like Z, but that's the way the life happens sometimes. But if we'll invite God into our situation, we'll invite God into our messiness and the chaos that happens in our life, God will bring joy, and he'll bring good news to those situations. I love what the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20 says. It says, it talks about the type of person that invites the Lord, and it says, he will not much remember the days of his life because God will keep him occupied with joy in his heart. And I get this picture of a guy that's going through hard times. He's got things happening all around him, but his heart is occupied with joy. God wants your heart to be occupied with joy today, my friend. He wants you to have a peace and a joy and experience the love of God that doesn't nullify the circumstance. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go great, but that sustains you, that your eyes might be occupied with the joy of God, not with the hardships or the difficulties or the seasons that you go through. Because God wants to occupy your heart with joy no matter what happens on the outside. Is that good news today? See, here's the reality, though, is that Jesus always brings good news and great joy to every situation he's invited in. But the reality is this. The reality is we have to make room for the Savior in our lives. And some of us, we got lives that are too full of stuff. You look at our calendars, and we got activity after activity, and we got thing after thing, and our minds are filled, and our spaces are filled. And that's the story of what happened in the city of Bethlehem, isn't it? Verse 7 says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a cow trough, in a manger. Why does the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords get laid in a manger, in a cow trough, in a feed bin? Because there was no place for them at the inn. And I'll just say something to somebody in the house today. You've got to make room for the Savior. You've got to make room for Jesus in your life because our lives get so hectic and so chaotic. And if it wasn't busy enough, we got social media now. Now we can just watch what everyone else is doing and occupy our minds with their plans, right? We can get ourselves so wrapped up in the pictures on Instagram and on the tweets of whoever, Maybe someone you like, maybe someone you hate. Doesn't matter. We get occupied with those things, and God says, you got to make me room. You got to make space for the Savior in your life. And I wonder, have you made room for Jesus in your life? Have you made room for him? Because I think it's something that, especially in this season, what I love about the Christmas season is that so very often we take pauses. Every time I speak with kids this time of year, they're like, yes, it's Christmas break, right? Which means they've got all this time. And parents are like, no, right? But we have all this time. And I love even, you know, I worked at a Fortune 100 company, and even they took a break. They said, we're going to pause. The whole world is counting on us to do everything, but we're going to pause so that you can spend time with your family. Don't you know that sometimes the holidays, Christmas and New Year's and all the Thanksgiving, all these holidays can just be the busiest times of year? But we've got to make space for God. We have to make him room. See, God's good news, Jesus came and it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is good news for the world. It's not just good news for a selected few, but it's good news for everyone. See, this is good news of God's rescue. See, the Christmas story is the beginning of the story of God's plan to redeem and restore his broken creation. That what we broke through sin, what we broke through our selfishness, God came to bring a pathway of redemption. In fact, I love that, as we talked about this last week, John 3:16 reminds us of this truth, that God came to bring the love of God to the world. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's good news, by the way. He didn't come to bring condemnation, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, there's good news, bad news here, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. See, friends, Jesus came into the world to bring salvation. He came to proclaim and herald good news of great joy for all people. And yet we still have to cling. We have to take hold of it. We have to take hold of that good news and invite the Savior into our lives. See, this can be good news or bad news. It's good news if we'll receive him, if we'll make him room. It's bad news if we reject him. We say, no, God, I'm good. I don't have any room for you in my life. I don't have space for you in my story. I'm too busy. I'm too overwhelmed. See, when we invite Jesus into our sorrows, he overshadows our pain with his joy. I'm going to say that again because someone needs to hear that today. When we invite Jesus into our sorrows, he overshadows our pain with his joy. See, God is beginning the process of undoing the effects of sin in our lives. Isaiah chapter 9 prophesies the coming of this Savior Jesus. Hundreds of years before Jesus were to enter into human history on the stage of the world, it says in Isaiah chapter 9, it's speaking of this moment when the Savior would come, and it says this, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus said, I came to bring the light. That people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. Say, increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. See, let me just tell you something. Darkness cannot prevail in the presence of light. And sorrow cannot prevail in the presence of joy. That God says, I want to bring light to those dark places in your life. I want to bring light to the darkness. And as we're going to do here in a couple days on our candlelight service, where this room will be dark, when we begin to light the lights of our candles, you'll see that where light is, darkness must flee. And I would say to you the same today, that where joy is, sorrow must flee as well. For some people, this season of life that's meant to be the season of joy. When joy came to the earth, in the man, in the God Christ, that season for many people that live in our world is a season of sorrow. God doesn't want you to live with sorrow. He wants you to have the joy, because the joy overshadows the darkness and the sorrow. See, the reality is this: the joy of God doesn't erase earthly sorrows, it simply overshadows them. It doesn't erase those things. But Jesus coming is good news, at least not yet. Can I just tell you, this is a sneak peek. There's going to come a time when Jesus is going to come again, and all of those sorrows will be wiped away. In fact, the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of that. It says he's going to wipe away every tear, and death and sorrow and grieving will be no more. Some of us long for that day, don't we? Some of us want to see that day when cancer's name is erased from the face of the earth, when death's name is erased from the face of the earth, when the things that we experience of injustice are gone and wiped away and no more. But here and now, as we live in this place of already but not yet, as Christ has come but he has not fully set us free from the presence of sin once and for all, we live in this place where we are reminded that the joy of God doesn't erase earthly sorrows, but it overshadows them. See, Jesus' coming is good news, but it's only good news if we'll draw near to him and see for ourselves. You saw what it said in verse 16. It said, the shepherds, they said to one another, actually 15 and 16, said, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has made known to us. And they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. I just want to say to somebody in the house today, this is an important thing. Each of us must have our own encounter with God. Each of us must have an experience with grace that none of us can ride on the coattails of faith of a loved one, of a spouse, of a parent, of a grandparent. That we each must have a relationship, an encounter with the Savior. And that's exactly what I love about this story, is that these shepherds, they weren't just content to say, wow, that was a really cool thing that just happened to us, wasn't it? Let's post it on Instagram. It'll be really cool. No, they went to see the Savior. And I would say to you in the house today, we must draw near to the Savior this season of Christmas, as we remember the Savior. We've got to draw near and encounter the Savior on our own. It is only when we open to God's invitation that we find the joy of the Lord, the joy that came into the world. And God wants you to have an encounter with his joy. He wants to give you a supernatural joy and peace that will transform everything. See, Jesus came to bring good news of great joy, not just for some people, but even for you, even for the person sitting next to you, even for those people that you don't like so much around the Christmas table this year. Hopefully you like everyone that's there. But that God would give joy even in those moments. God wants to bring joy to everyone, everywhere. See, in the Christmas story, we find many things. I want to give you a couple things that we find in the Christmas story. As Jesus came to the earth, we find that the joy of God's unconditional love for us. It's one of the things we experience when we will grasp and take hold of this story that's more than just a story. It's a demonstration of God's love, as we talked about last week, that God demonstrated his love for us, not just in words, but in action. Because love always is an action. Love is always active. Love is always visible and seen. But this is what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to pay for the punishment that was deserving on our sins. But he sums it all up in verse 19. He says, we love because he first loved us. Turn to the person next to you and say, God loved you first. Some of y'all need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we don't feel like God loves us. Sometimes we look at our life and the things that we do and the things that we've done, and we think, God, there's no way you could love me the way I am. But that's the scandalous nature of the good news of the Christmas story, that God didn't wait for us to have our stuff all worked out. He came and loved us first. He loved us before we ever got ourselves sanctified, right? before we learn how to speak with righteous words, right? Before we learn how to dress ourselves and go to church, right? Before any of those things happened, he loved us. That's good news. See, we don't have to try and perform for God. He loves us, period, end of story. We love him because he loved us first. And that's the good news today, is that in the Christmas story, we find the joy of God's unconditional love for us. Secondly, we find the joy of a restored relationship with God. Now, I don't know about anyone here. We got too righteous and holy a crowd, but none of you have ever been in a conflict with someone, right? Right? You ever have a conflict with someone that just shouldn't be there, and you just know it shouldn't be there, but you got to walk around like on eggshells? And then there's a moment, and I pray this is a moment that's happened to you, if you've ever lived in conflict. There's that moment where you have restoration, where suddenly you have that conversation, you have that discussion. Maybe it's even an argument, but it leads to reconciliation. You ever have that moment? Don't you love that moment? Now, I don't like this moment, but this moment where there's restoration and all of a sudden it's like freedom, right? I don't have to worry about that thing hanging over that every time I see that person, I've got to be like, oh, 1986, that guy did something to me, right? Just let it go, right? But that moment is so liberating. It's so freeing. And that is the joy of a restored relationship. And God says, I want you to have that experience of grace with me. I don't want you to walk around feeling like, he's mad at me. I did something wrong. Watch out for the lightning bolt, right? As soon as the rain comes, you're ducking for lightning bolt. No. God says, I want you to have the joy of a restored relationship. And that's the story of Christmas. See, God wants our lives to be marked as a people of reconciliation. I don't know about you, but it grieves my soul to see the division that takes place in our land, in our time, in our era, in our nation. You don't have to look far to find division. We've got racial division. We've got socioeconomic division. We've got political division. Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't ever tell me that you're this or you're that, because someone's going to get crucified somewhere. We don't even want to go near that. There's such division, and it grieves my heart to see such division. And God has called his people to be a people of reconciliation, to be a people that long to see relationships healed and mended, not divisions created and separated. God wants us to act the way that he acts, to love the way that he loves. See, here's what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 gives us this glimpse of what God has done for us and what he calls us to do for others. He says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Say new creation. New creation. That old stuff, it's gone. I'm a new guy. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself so that we could just live in that and just be joy-filled and not do anything. No, that's not what it says. It continues. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation as well. See, he saved us from something, but he saved us for something, didn't he? See, God saved us from that place of being at odds with him through our sin. But then he said, I'm making you ministers of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Some of y'all didn't realize you're an ambassador today. You didn't realize you got that immunity card. No, you don't have that. But we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I want to say that to somebody else in the house today. I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God wants you to have the joy of reconciliation. He doesn't want you to live in this place of conflict. He wants you to live in the joy that comes from being reconciled to God. That brings great joy. I'll just tell you, it's joyful to have reconciliation with God. See, the joy of restored relationship with God is ours through the Christmas story. The Christmas story, we also find the joy of knowing that our guilt and our shame is forever gone. See, there's one thing to know that our sins don't count against us. that the punishment for our sin has been cared for. I don't got to go to jail, right? I don't got to spend eternity separated from God. But there's some people that don't live just, they don't leave it there. They take the guilt with them. They take the shame with them. And they receive the forgiveness for the penalty of their sins, but they still walk around with guilt and shame. And God says, I don't want you to live in that way. I don't want you to carry the guilt and the shame. See, the Christmas message is this message that God came to wipe away our guilt and our shame forever and ever. Psalm 103, verse 8, I've shared this before and I'll read it again. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He continues in verse 10 and says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? Sometimes I'm really glad I don't get what I deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And gets this, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Last time I shared this, somebody pulled me aside and said, Pastor, aren't you excited that God didn't say as far as the north is from the south? And I said, what do you mean? I never thought about that. And he said, well, there's a north pole and there's a south pole. There's a finite distance between those two places. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to move it this number of miles. He says, as far as the east is from the west. There's no east pole. There's no west pole, my friends. God says, as far as the east is from the west, I can keep going east forever. I can keep going west forever. God says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I carry away your iniquity from you. Friends, this is good news. God doesn't want you to carry guilt anymore. And that as we remember the birth of a Savior, we remember the fact that God loved us first, that God loved us better, and that God carries away those things because he wants us to be not only restored relationally, but he wants us to live with the joy that comes from knowing that our guilt doesn't weigh us down anymore. That when I walk in the forgiveness of God, man, it sets me free. I don't have to perform anymore. I get to be like a kid again. I love my kids, man. They got no cares in the world, right? God says, I want you to have that sort of joy before me. See, God has carried our sins away. And finally, the joy, the Christmas story, we find the joy of both eternal and temporal purpose. And I'll just say this, friends. God has created you with a purpose. And sometimes we can feel like our life lacks purpose, like I'm just going through the motions. And I just want to say that the story of Christmas is the reminder that God has saved you not just from something, but for something. See, I believe this with every fiber of my being, that God has made you for something. God has made you with purpose today. He's made you to make a difference in this place that we live in between eternity and our temporary circumstances. God has said, I've created you not only for a purpose on this side of eternity, but you have a hope, a steadfast anchor for your soul that one day you can look ahead to that moment when you'll be set free from the presence of sin once and for all. See, this is the good news, my friends, that the joy of God, that God gives us purpose both eternally and temporally. I'll just say it. My prayer and hope for you this morning and in this Christmas season is that you would invite Jesus in. Some of y'all are like, God, I did that years and years ago. I did that 90 years ago. I did that 20 years ago. I did that last year. God, I did that a long time ago. Maybe not 90 years. I don't think there's anyone of that age in here today. But God, you say, God, I've got so many things that I've already done. But my prayer for you is that you'd invite the Savior in. This is true of us who have walked with Jesus a long time. This is true for maybe someone in the house today that's never accepted the love of God. They've never received the Lord Jesus. They've never answered the door as he's knocked on the door of their life, and he's knocking today. But my prayer and my hope for you is that you would experience the joy, the good news, and the great joy that comes from inviting the Savior in. And as we remember the words of these men, these shepherds, who didn't deserve to hear the first call of Jesus Christ's arrival, and yet they were the ones that the angels came to. They knew they needed to draw near. They knew they needed to make room. So Church, would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that you are the God who brings us good news of great joy wherever you're invited in. And so today, Jesus Christ, we invite you into our lives. God, we thank you that you manifested your love for us on that first Christmas morning. We thank you for bringing the joy to the world through the promise of redemption. God, we thank you for being the God who loved us enough to come to be near to us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. And God, today we thank you that though you are all-powerful, God of heaven and earth, you chose to redeem, to rescue me. God, even when I feel alone, even when I feel forgotten, even when I feel like the waves of grief or sorrow or struggle are washing over my life, God, I thank you that I'm never alone. I thank you that you are still God with us. You're still near to us. God, I pray that you'd help us to receive your unconditional love today. We thank you that no matter how big a mess we've made, how many things we've screwed up along the way, God, we thank you that no matter how little we might deserve your love, you lavish it upon us, not because of how good we are, but because of how good you are, because you loved us first. God, may we receive your unconditional love today. And God, I pray that you'd fill every man and woman in this house today, every one of us, fill us with your supernatural joy. In this season, a season we remember the joy of heaven that came to earth. But for anyone that's here feeling sorrow, God, today I pray that you'd wash away the sorrow with your joy, that you'd overcome the darkness with your light. Lord, today we want to receive, fully receive your transforming love. God, today we pray that you'd fill us with your supernatural joy. Fill us with that joy today. God, where darkness has been pressing in, we invite you to bring your light. God, where sorrow has been pressing in, we invite you to bring your joy. We invite you to fill us with that supernatural joy that only you can bring, that overshadows any sorrow, any guilt, any shame we might experience this side of eternity. God, we look to you. We thank you that you loved us enough to make a way for us to be redeemed. We honor you. We bless you, Father. We thank you for your gift this Christmas time. And perhaps you're here with every head bowed and every eye still closed. Perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of Jesus Christ. You've never made the decision to follow after Jesus, to make him room, to invite him in. You've never crossed the line of faith and put your hope in him. Or perhaps you did a long time ago and you've wandered far from God. Today would be the day of redemption for you. God wants you to know that you'll be forever with him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And perhaps that's you this morning. You've never made a confession of faith. I don't want to call you down front or do anything strange, but I want to just agree with you. Perhaps that's you today. You say, I want to come home to God. I want to be made right with God. I don't want to carry my guilt and my shame anymore. I want to receive the free gift of God this Christmas. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed in a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond, and I won't call you down front. I just want to respond and pray with you right where you are. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift your hand? Say, I want to be made right with God today. I want to come home to him. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. You lift your eyes. Anyone else today, you say, that's me. I want to respond to the Lord Jesus today. God bless you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the very first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I thank you for loving me first. I ask you into my life. I make room for you In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate today in the house? Heaven rejoices when just one comes to faith. So when we rejoice, can we sing a song of worship today? Would you stand with me? We're going to conclude our time with singing. Got the team.